You're listening to episode 5 of the Growing Leaders Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. We're excited that you're joining us again, and we're glad to be back here in the studio today. We've got Tim Elmore and myself, Jake Sumner, and we have an important topic that we want to talk about today. Here in the Growing Leaders office, we're approaching the end of the year, and this is the last podcast of the year. We're looking forward to what's coming up as we make this transition into the new year. And it's bringing up a lot of thoughts of how we handle these transitions as we move from one section of the year to another, one project to another. And so we just wanted to talk a little bit about the importance of making transitions and making them well.
Jake, you know, transitions happen all the time. In fact, in our office, we have the calendar year that ends, and then we have a fiscal year that ends 6 months later. So it seems like all of us all the time are going through some junction in our life. It reminded me recently about a great story. In fact, you may have heard this story before. Over the years, over the centuries, actually, in Italy, in every major city in Italy, there is a custom they practice at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve. At midnight, you don't want to be on the streets in Italy because windows fly up, doors fly open, and objects begin to be thrown out onto the streets.
Wow.
Objects, any object that carries with it a negative memory, a bad memory, or a negative connotation, they'll just toss it out. So it might be a, I don't know, it might be a piece of furniture or a bad book or a spouse. I'm just kidding. But it could be a number of things that just, and in essence, what they're saying is out with the old and in with the new. Mm-hmm. And so in a sense, this podcast is really about how do we help people through these junctions where they need to bring an end to something, a pattern, a relationship, or whatever, and start fresh. So I think this is going to, I'm hoping this is going to be really, really relevant.
I have
one of the things that sparked this in my mind was I have a friend. He's an old college roommate, actually, from years and years ago. He and I were talking on the phone recently, and he talked about how badly he felt about not staying in touch with Casey. Casey was an old friend, not his real name, by the way. And I said, why do you feel bad? He goes, well, I just, you know, he's called or he'd done this or done that over the years. And I just started not getting back to him. And I feel guilty. But the more we talked, the more I realized that Casey was a guy, and we've all had Caseys in our life, where it was always wanting something, never given something, always asking, never providing. You know, that sort of thing. It was just kind of a taker rather than a giver. And he was feeling bad, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe, my friend, this Casey doesn't need to be in your life. And maybe it's okay to not feel guilty about transitioning out of a relationship, for Pete's sake.
Right.
But we don't do that very well.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, a lot of times that's something that does carry a lot of guilt with it, or a lot of these unspoken sort of feelings where we go, we should just push in. And, you know, it's not that big a deal to take a phone call or, you know, to respond to an email. But over time, it takes a toll. And we find ourselves in that place, like you said, where we avoid their phone call or we don't get back to them. And again, that creates more guilt about the whole situation rather than coming to a place where we just give ourselves permission to really end a friendship because it's time.
Yeah.
And today I think we really want to talk about a couple of images that could help us out as we think about that idea of transitioning well. And I hope the first thing that people hear is that maybe it is healthy for us to give ourselves permission to end friendships and to think through these steps of, you know, what are the steps we can take to do that in a healthy way that is, you know, affirming and not vindictive, not mean to people, but allows us to move forward in a way that's best for both of us, actually.
Absolutely. I remember years and years ago when I was still working with Dr. John Maxwell, he shared one year that the greatest lesson he had learned that year was that the people that start the journey with you may not be the ones that stay with you or end the journey with you.
Wow.
Well, that sounds like a no-brainer, but that's a revolutionary thought because we tend to think the to-do list never is reduced. It's always expanding.
Exactly.
The friendship list is always growing. And then you got that proverbial Christmas card that you go, oh, I don't know, do we send it to the Johnsons or the Smiths or whatever? And you know, I think we need to make a decision. And as leaders, we've got to be intentional about relationships. And at once we need to know the people you once hung around may not be the people that
exactly
stay with you on the journey.
Well, it's interesting to think about, you know, a lot of times geography or stage of life used to determine that for us. I mean, obviously you move across the country and you know, besides a phone call or something like that, you're not going to run into the person, you know, down the street. And so those transitions happen naturally. But now I think with technology, yeah, you know, again, it's one of those things of the endless to-do list. You know, with technology, it doesn't cost us anything to follow more people or to friend more people on Facebook. But I think there is an emotional toll that takes place, and there is our attention that's being diverted, yeah, from maybe the people that are right in front of us that we should be investing our time and effort and energy into.
Jake, you said something earlier. Social mm-hmm. media actually pushes us to accumulate, mm-hmm. not subtract.
Exactly.
You want more followers on Twitter. You want more friends on Facebook. You want more exactly. likes. You want more, you know, texts coming at you. Mm-hmm. There's adrenaline that pumps through our veins when that little ding on your phone Definitely. Rings and, you know, somebody needs me. Mm-hmm. We put our Superman cape on and we love it.
Exactly.
And that's not healthy. So social media, especially Facebook, mm-hmm. Makes it easier to accumulate, but also it makes it easier to defriend somebody, which
it's
may
true.
Mean I'm checking out of a relationship and it's not healthy the way I'm doing it. It's too easy. I need to
exactly.
do this in a healthy way. So mm-hmm. let's, in this podcast, the last minutes we have, let's take some time and really talk about how do you do this in a healthy way when you have to say it's over.
Definitely.
How do you do that?
Definitely. Yeah, well, I think the first thing that we can look at here is just, you know, there was some research that we were talking about earlier
yeah.
about the idea of just the number of people that we can actually keep up with,
yeah.
just with the capacities of our human mind and all the limited amount of time that we have. And, you know, we're really finding that more than 150 people is just not sustainable
yeah.
for most people. And I even noticed this in my Twitter account. You know, like you said, when you first start on a
yeah.
social media network, you go,
yeah.
let's friend everybody, let's
yeah,
listen to
yeah.
everybody, let's see what they're saying. And pretty soon your stream is just endless with all
yeah.
this information. And, you know, one thing that's great about Twitter is it allows you to create those lists where you might be following 1,000 people, but you've got 10 people on a list called friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the list you really pay attention
yeah,
to.
Absolutely.
And you're listening to what they're saying. And I think in real life, it's the same way. There's only a certain amount of people that we can really give
right.
adequate attention to.
Malcolm Gladwell talks about this in his
mm-hmm.
great book, The Tipping Point.
Yeah.
But it was documented from research. In fact,
mm-hmm.
the Stanford Center for Longevity, there was a psychologist, Dr. Carstensen, who gathered data that show the number of interactions with acquaintances starts to decline at about age 17.
Hmm.
So you got your social high school thing going on. Starts to decline after age 17. Picks up again between 30 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old you are listening to this, but usually that decade is, you know, young families were together.
Mm-hmm.
But then goes into sharp decline from 40 to 50. And then from that point on, you're going, I don't know if I got the strength to sustain hundreds of relationships here. I probably
exactly.
don't. I'm going to choose. In fact, I love the phrase that Stanford used. This is a great phrase. In short, people move from being explorers and collectors of friends to being miners who dig for a few nuggets of gold.
Wow.
And I feel like that's what leaders have to do.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it in perspective.
Yeah.
I know another thing that we had been talking about was just that survey that Today.com had done,
yeah.
where they had discovered that of their respondents, over 3/4 said that they'd had a toxic friend at some point.
Yeah.
And for a third of them, that friend was actually their best friend.
Gosh.
And so...
yeah, we just don't know how to say no.
Exactly.
Yeah, hit me again.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so
it's,
we let
it's
people
crazy.
In, and we keep them in that close position, even when if we were to step back for a moment, would probably recognize this isn't best for us.
Yeah.
This isn't best for them.
Yeah.
This actually has become a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
So maybe we could think through what are some of those sort of signs to look for as we think about the relationships that we have right now.
Well, Jake, we have been using a metaphor in our office. It's kind of a habitude now, but it's pass on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in traffic, it's appropriate to move to the left and pass on the left. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to throw a rock at the car that's driving slow or, you know, give them some hand signal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can just pass. I think we need to learn this. When we see a relationship that's no longer relevant, helpful, it's not a win-win anymore.
Exactly.
Both parties are not adding value. You can pass on the left and you can do it appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it'd be great to talk through specifics. There are certain kinds of people that we probably just need to pass on the left.
Definitely.
One of them is what you might call the false victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually these type of people actually try to say that you're hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're being attacked and you're going, wait, I think I'm the one that's, you know, the victim here. But, but you know, they're always the victim in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
They always feel like they're under attack by somebody. They want to be rescued. Some people want to be victims so they don't have to take responsibility mm-hmm. for their life. So that'd exactly. be one type.
Definitely.
Another one would be the narcissist. And we all know what narcissism is, but these people appear to be friends, but really they're in love with themselves. Mm-hmm. And if we got honest, we all know a few people that really, when they say, let's get to the talk, what they mean is let's get to the, and I'll talk. Exactly. If you'll listen, that'd be awesome. They're self-absorbed and they're really always talking about themselves, me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. They often fail to see the needs and the importance of anyone else. It's all about them. Their self-awareness is low. Mm-hmm. But we're both looking at this list. Talk about the next
sure.
one, Jake.
Yeah, I think the next one is just the chronic downer. And, you know, it definitely reminds us of that famous Saturday Night Live sketch yeah. with Debbie Downer. You know, everybody's talking and having a good time. And, you know, you turn the camera over to Debbie, and yeah. she's always got a way.
Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. To look at the darkest side of things.
Yeah.
You know, I know that that's part of some people's personalities, but at the same time, if that's the mark of the relationship,
yeah.
that type of person is going to bring you down as well. And so, you know, surrounding yourself with someone who's always looking at the negative side of things, always unhappy, you know, thinking that, you know, life is scarce and yeah. things are definitely going to go wrong, there's no way that you can't be influenced by yeah. that. And yeah. so, you know, it's definitely one of those things to look out for as we think about healthy relationships and surrounding yeah. ourselves with others that are going to build us up. And
you're right. Years ago, my wife was telling me about some people that she had accumulated. She was notorious for accumulating, even though we had moved from San Diego to Denver to Atlanta, she mm-hmm. wanted to stay in touch with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very noble. Yeah. I don't think it's real, but I think it's very noble. I mean, realistic.
Right.
And a couple of them were these downer folks. And I said, certainly you can serve them and mm-hmm. add value and try to encourage them. But if this is a constant state of the heart and mind,
mm-hmm.
I don't think this is not going to help at right. all. Mm-hmm. You're not helping them, and you're certainly not helping yourself. And it was actually hard for her, but she did. She started mm-hmm. just, you know, appropriately severing
yeah.
those relationships. So
yeah, and again, I think this is where Pass on the Left is so yeah. important. Such a great reminder for us, because there is that, you know, you see people like that, and you feel like, maybe I can do something to help.
Yeah.
But as you go along, if you realize maybe that's not going to change,
yeah.
maybe it is time to go ahead and
right.
pass on the left.
So true.
So
Another one is the bully.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this one before, and the quickest way you can spot these are just what they laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
They're always smirking or sneering or laughing, and it's always at the expense of others.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they may be okay people, but you start noticing this is going south, this mm-hmm. this conversation, this relationship, because it's always about really bullying other people.
Yeah.
In fact, it's kind of sad, because they don't seem to be able to laugh at themselves, but always at others. They're making fun of others, and I just don't think it's healthy. We tell our kids not to bully, but we adults do it too, and I just feel like bullies manipulate people so they can look good, and I don't think that's a healthy relationship
exactly.
to stay in.
Yeah, I think another one for us to look at is just the underminer. And again, this is somebody that's a little bit hard to spot at first, because they're nice to your face. You know,
yeah.
they seem like they are building you up. They seem yeah. like somebody good that you want to be around. But what you start to notice over time yeah. is that pattern of they're undermining your friendship. You know, they're gossiping, they're backbiting. And really what they're trying to do is pit friend against friend
yeah.
and to make themselves look good in the final analysis.
Yeah. So in front of your face, it's all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Behind your back, you're thinking, man, I'm being sliced up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And those, again, are relationships. I think it's okay to pass on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Another one would be, I don't know what to call this, but the flake.
Yeah.
We all know flakes, no names, please. But sadly, these people, they may promise you everything, but they fail to come through on their promises. They flake out on commitments, on appointments, pledges, dates. And we all know people. Sometimes they just can't get their stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying you don't have to sever all these people from your life. They're too prevalent maybe, but
yeah.
but it's okay to pass on the left and say, I don't need to sustain this
mm-hmm.
fledgling relationship that never seems to work out. I'm the one that shows up for the coffee. They flake on me. And
exactly.
And then I just do it again. It's like Lucy and Charlie Brown. Lucy's holding the ball saying, kick it this time. No, you're going to take it away. And he does it every time.
Exactly.
So.
Yep. And the last one, just to bring up quickly, is just the overly religious. Mm-hmm. And again,
talk about that.
You know, we definitely don't want to downgrade. You know, we appreciate people that are authentic in their faith, you know, and are pursuing, you know, their beliefs and
absolutely.
Their values.
They're some of our favorite people.
Exactly. But when we see people who use religion or use scripture or use Bible verses as a tool to beat people up or to, you know, bring across their point and to make sure that everyone, you know, recognizes them as right or as authoritative. This is a dangerous tendency.
Yeah.
And again, I think this is another one of those relationships where it's okay if we see this as a pattern that's been sustained over time to say, it's time to pass on the left around this person.
Jake, you and I both know our faith plays a huge role in our life, but we see people like this all the time hiding behind something spiritual.
Yeah.
They spiritualize everything. In fact, I think in many ways they're hiding behind God to not take responsibility for something to do. Well, God told me this or that or whatever. And I'm just thinking, gosh, I just can't get close to people that are doing that God talk, and it's not real. I like it when it's real. I don't like it when it's plastic and artificial, and again, pass on the left. I just feel like those are the kinds of people we need to move away from.
Well, one more picture that we want to look at that, again, I think is helpful in this time of transition as we move into a new year and as we think about our relationships with others is the picture of baggage fees.
Yeah.
And again, this is just a great picture for what is happening day to day as we go through our life and the fees that we're paying because of the extra stuff that we're carrying around. You want to elaborate on that
A little bit? I think it's a great metaphor. You cannot fly anywhere today without baggage fees. And if you're going to check a bag, it's going to cost you.
Exactly.
I mean, you even mentioned, or Southwest Airlines lets you check two bags free, but even they're accumulating money because people check so much. In fact, share that stat you just mentioned to me.
This morning on the radio, actually, I heard DJs just talking about how much airlines had made off baggage fees this last year, and it's pretty shocking. As a whole, the airline industry brought in $1 billion just in baggage fees. Delta Airlines by themselves brought in about $600 million of that.
Wow.
And then, like you said, with Southwest, even though they allow you to bring two, and those are completely free, Southwest brought in $100 million from people paying to bring that extra third, fourth, fifth, or however many bags they felt like they needed to get to their destination.
We have a lot of baggage.
No doubt.
And we're paying for it. And obviously, this has a double meaning. As we talk in our office, just trying to help people make sense of this, and it's a little cliche, but people have baggage. Yeah. And sometimes when we transition out of relationships, it probably needs to be because there's so much baggage, it's costing them, it's costing the relationships around them. Toward the tail end of 2012, we all heard about the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, at Sandy Hook School. We have all grieved. It's a 20-year-old kid with baggage. It, clearly, it was mental problems. And I don't mean to make this pithy, but it's an exaggerated picture of the kinds of damage that can happen when we just aren't healthy. And I'm saying it's okay to pass on the left when the baggage thing is just too costly.
Definitely.
So,
well, I know we had a little bit of just research that we wanted to look into of really the fee that we're paying when we carry around this extra baggage. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that study that was done?
Absolutely. For years, I have tracked something that a couple of psychiatrists put together, Thomas Holmes and Richard Ray. It was decades ago, in fact, about 1967, that they were scouring the medical history of thousands of people. So this was a big study. And their goal was to answer the question of whether stress might be linked to illness. It seems to be a natural assumption that if you're highly stressed, it might physically affect you. Well, they not only discovered that was true, but much more. They began to demonstrate that we in life all go through life change at different junctions. It may be moving, it may be enrolling at a new school, a new friend, saying no to a friend, whatever. But those represents life change, and they started assigning units to the life change. So the death of a spouse is 100 life change units. Yeah. It's very stressful. It physically affects you. It emotionally affects you. That's baggage.
Right.
I mean, it's not, it's sometimes you can't do anything about it, but it happens. Right. So they came up with something called the Social Readjustment Rating Scale. And basically it measures the amount of stress that life change brings to you at different junctions of your life. Yeah. So for instance, they list family separation, leaving home. This would be a freshman leaving for college.
Yeah.
There's some stress that's attached to
that.
Even if they say, everything's great, love the people here, there's a level of stress that happens in that transition. Adjustment in personal routines, your whole daily agenda is messed up now. Change in financial state, that's an obvious one.
Definitely.
That's the economy. transitions in schools or new friends, beginning or ending school, a shift in sleeping habits can even be a handful of life change units.
Yeah.
And what they basically say is this. If you're going through several junctions at the same time, several transitions, it can be way more weighty on you. You're minimally, you're irritable, and maximally, it may just be a huge issue that you just need to know. And again, let me just say it. As leaders, we're going to be carrying stress, probably more than the average person, the average follower, if you will, because we have the labor and the intensity of leading an organization. So we got to be aware of these stressful change units that are happening in our life along the way.
Well, I think that's a helpful tool for us to think about as we're evaluating ourselves at the end of this year, as we're evaluating our leadership and moving into this next stage, this next year, to think about where are the places that we're paying those baggage fees. And in our relationships, if there's some relationships that we're paying an inordinate amount of baggage fees, maybe it's okay for us to pass on the left. Some of our decisions that we're making from day to day, if we're recognizing that there's a lot of change that's being lost and we're paying it out and we're not seeing a return on it, it's time to start making some changes and get rid of some of those baggage fees that we're paying unnecessarily.
I think it is. In fact, at one point in my leadership journey, I remember evaluating the life change units I was going through, and I realized the best step I could take at that time was releasing certain obligations, and there were some people, not bad people. I needed to sever that because that was a full on taking, not giving back type of relationship.
Exactly.
So I think it would probably serve us well, Jake, for us just to dialogue as we bring this podcast to a close on how do you do that?
Yeah.
If we're going to pass on the left or we're going to get rid of these bags that are costing us, what do we do? So let's venture into some of these steps that we need to take, I think, if we're going to break a breakup, if we will, with a person, that just so we could start the year in a fresh way.
Definitely. Well, I think the first step that we can do is just begin with the end in mind. I mean, it's going to be a difficult conversation, you know, if you actually have to sit someone down and say, hey, I need to pass on the left here.
Yeah.
It's time to move forward. But beginning with that end in mind, you know, is going to allow you to really have that clarity of going, this is what I need to say. These are the actions that I need to take. Or maybe sometimes it's just allowing that, you know, friendship to fade into the background and you know, you perhaps don't have to respond as much as you did in the past and be okay with that.
Absolutely.
But knowing what that end is going to allow you to really identify what are the next steps clearly.
Yeah. I remember Dan Allender spoke once and he was talking about how as a leader, he had fired a person. This was a pass on the left type of situation.
Yeah.
I need to let you go. He said, I fired this person three times. They kept coming back. And he goes, I wanted to say, did we have the same conversation yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
But he eventually took the blame. He said, I obviously was not clear. I didn't have the end goal clear enough in mind that he knew, like ya, but we're done. You know? So, and he had us laughing, but he goes, I just didn't have the clear objective in mind, and he certainly didn't get the clear objective.
Exactly.
The point of this meeting is, you're done here, you know? So anyway, enough said on that.
Definitely.
The second step on this list, after beginning with the end in mind and knowing exactly the conclusion you got to get to, is be caring but truthful. This is really the delivery mode that we're talking about here. I feel like we need to be velvet-covered bricks, velvet on the outside, gracious and very relational, very warm, but inside tough as a brick. We've got to speak the truth in love. So it's easy to fudge on the truth. You don't want to hurt their feelings. But again, in the end, like Dan Allender, I fired the guy three times. He didn't know it after three times. So somewhere I'm missing something here.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I think the next one is just very practical. If you feel like it's necessary and helpful, practice and role play can be a great thing. And sometimes this is just practicing in front of your mirror in your car as you're driving down the road. Sometimes it may actually involve, you know, taking your spouse aside for a second and say, hey, can I run this conversation past you or one of your close friends that you know that you can trust with this information? But sometimes even just practicing it and verbalizing it out loud before you get in that moment can just be such a helpful way to set it up and know that you're going to say the right things and to carry that velvet-covered brick and that truth in a way that it's going to land and be heard.
No doubt about it. Dr. Henry Cloud is very helpful on this. He wrote a book called Necessary Endings, and he talks about role-playing. And like you just said, bouncing it off of somebody. How does this feel? How does this sound? And they can say, That's totally judgmental.
Yeah.
I tell you how they're going to scream at you, you know.
Exactly.
But only after role playing do you kind of know how it's going to feel and sound.
Exactly.
So, the next one is just get the tone right.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about being velvet cover bricks. That's what you're going to deliver, but this is how you're going to deliver it. Mm-hmm. Don't be harsh. Make sure you've worked past any anger issues or shaming. We tend to shame people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't say that. Some do. It's so easy when we're angry and we want to get rid of a person in our mm-hmm. life to be very shameful, and they're feeling shame because of our decision. And I don't think that's necessary.
Right.
I think you can sever without making someone feel ashamed of who they are and what they've done. We need to be caring and empathetic in
Definitely. And the next one is just to validate the relationship and the person. Again, just because this season is over, it doesn't mean that the person's a bad person or that you don't value them, you don't appreciate them. And so I think it's important to end with a note of, you know, affirming them as a person and the value that they have intrinsically, even though this may be a time where we're going to pass on the left and this season is over and this friendship or relationship is going to look different from this point forward. There's a way to affirm them even in the midst of that hard conversation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Love that. The next step is get agreement. Now, sometimes this is impossible, mm-hmm. but I think as much as it's possible, you, the initiator, need to say, I want to get some sort of agreement. We can agree to disagree, but at mm-hmm. least we know what page we're on and we're on the same page when it comes to this. So when a topic is emotional, this is just a good rule of thumb to follow. It's important to be clear about the needed change. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's only you that say, I'm sorry, maybe you're fine. I need to not do this.
Exactly.
This can happen in all kinds of layers of relationship, but
definitely,
this is where we often fail because mm-hmm. we just haven't gotten agreement.
Exactly. And another topic I think that's closely related to that is just to be prepared to deal with defensive reactions.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, and if their reaction is angry or defensive, you know, I think it's good to know that sort of going into it and to be prepared that that might be their reaction and to not let that get you off track mm-hmm. from what you want that final outcome to be. And so in the midst of that, you know, it's important to remain decisive and controlled and to not, you know, allow them in that moment to let the emotion talk you out of the decision that you've
Absolutely.
Already made.
Jake, we talk about this nearly every podcast, but this mm-hmm. is an EQ issue, not an IQ issue. Smart people can do dumb things mm-hmm. because they're not able to manage their emotions.
Yeah.
And that's really what emotional intelligence is about. Mm-hmm. It's about the healthy management of emotions.
Yeah.
I'm self-aware. I'm socially aware of mm-hmm. others. And I know how to manage the emotions of myself and them.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean control. You can't control someone getting mad or sad,
mm-hmm.
but you can manage the conversation well. And that's why I think for leaders especially, emotional intelligence is a far bigger predictor of success
mm-hmm.
than how smart you are, the strategy you have, or the great product you're selling.
Yeah.
I've got to just, and this is just a good example of how we need to be strong on this one.
Yeah.
I'll give you an analogy. Emotions tend to fog our rationale.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think clearly when we're highly emotional.
Yeah.
At least I'll just speak for myself. I don't think clearly when I'm highly emotional. I read some time ago that an 8-ounce glass of water contains the water, the liquid, the fluid, if you mm-hmm. will, that can fog up a cityscape 4 blocks wide and 4 blocks long.
Wow.
When it's turned to mist mm-hmm. or fog.
Yeah.
Meaning it's just that much water, just a little bit of water, mm-hmm. that when it's water, you can see right through it. You know exactly what it is. I can see through it.
Exactly.
But when it's fog, I can't see it. I drive cautiously because it's so fuzzy and foggy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what emotions do to us. Everything's fuzzy. It may be a tiny little issue,
just
8 ounces of water,
mm-hmm.
but I'm all fogged up now, and I'm not thinking clearly, and I've made a mountain out of a molehill,
exactly.
and I'm killing a roach with a shotgun, but it's unnecessary.
Yeah, so, I think that's a great analogy to help understand that better.
Yeah.
One last final step we just want to talk about when we think about how we can end a relationship in a healthy way is sometimes it just may be necessary to bring another person along.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're going to know this just based on, you know, the character of the person that you're dealing with and the track record that they have in the past. But some truly difficult people, this is going to be a conversation you don't want to have just one-on-one. And you may need a friend to come along for support and
Absolutely.
Just to help talk through and to have one more voice that's there kind of backing you up or,
yeah.
you know, definitely you don't want to move it to a place where it's too ganging up on one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, having someone that can be there, that can help hold you to the decision that you've made.
Yeah, well, the genius behind this is mm-hmm. simply this. If it's a passing on the left type of situation, mm-hmm. It can turn into he said, she said.
Yeah.
And now we've got two different stories that happened in that meeting. But mm-hmm. if there's a third party, they can say, no, here's what happened. So
exactly.
Very vital. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, as we finish out this topic, we really do want to end on a positive note. We've talked about the idea that...
Killing friendships, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. We're moving into a new year,
making
these transitions and maybe ending some things, maybe putting aside some baggage fees as part of that transition.
Yeah.
But how do we decide who stays around? Because I think that's an equally important question.
Absolutely.
As we really evaluate all these areas of our life. What are some characteristics that we should look for? Maybe some questions we should ask that would help us determine this is someone who's worth sticking around and someone that we need to continue to invest our time and effort and energy into.
Jake, our team has actually talked about this, and
mm-hmm.
we have some basic questions that we feel like are healthy to ask, whether you're a leader or not, but certainly for leaders.
Definitely.
On how to choose to let certain people stay close to you.
Mm-hmm.
It would be questions like, do I feel better after spending time with them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the meeting's over, am I feeling better? Now, that doesn't mean they've entertained you and given you goosebumps every time, but you feel like you're a better person having spent time with them.
Mm-hmm.
Do they bring out the best in me? Are they a positive influence? Am I truly more productive, more fruitful, a better
mm-hmm.
person, better husband, better dad, whatever?
Yeah.
Another one is, what I haven't been in touch, how do I feel?
Yeah.
You know, you may say, oh gosh, when I haven't been in touch, I miss them. But you also might say, I feel relieved when I haven't been in touch with that
mm-hmm.
person. That's probably a person you need to pass on the left. But
yeah.
But if you can say yes to that, I miss them, that's a person you need to stay around.
Mm-hmm.
Two more real quick. Do we both make an effort?
Mm-hmm.
I think great relationships, whether it's in business, in the school, in friendships in the neighborhood, I think both need to be leaning in. And really, quite frankly, both parties need to be adding value
mm-hmm.
to each other. And if they're not, it's a one-sided relationship. Marriages go sour when it's one person adding all the value and the other person just receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, do they celebrate my success? It's
mm-hmm.
so great to have people around that you just say, when I'm excited, I can share with you, Jake,
exactly.
you know, whatever. And I know they're going to be equally excited. It's
mm-hmm.
not going to be, oh, darn it, I didn't get that.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
pretty vital to ask that question.
Wow. So. Well, I think those are some great questions, and I do think it puts things in perspective. We hope that this has been a really helpful topic. I know this is a hard one to talk about. It's not one of those, you know, we end the podcast all feeling fuzzy about the friendships we're going to go out and end now. But I hope that this really does put tools in people's hands and, again, gives people permission to make those transitions because, again, we're all paying those fees day after day with the people and the decisions that we're making. And so helping us have some tools to look at that from an objective standpoint and go, what's the best move moving forward as we head into this new year?
Now, Jake, the cool thing about this, these are images that we've just recently created.
Exactly.
For students in transition. Talk for just a second about this new resource.
Sure.
That we've just created.
Yeah, we have a great new book coming out, another addition to the Habitudes series. This is actually the first Habitudes book that we've created for students in over 6 years now, which is exciting. We did Habitudes for Communicators last year, but that was really for people that are communicating with the next generation.
Yeah.
But this new Habitudes for the Journey book is really for those students who are facing those times of transitions, whether it's middle school to high school to college, college to career.
Yeah.
These are big steps in people's lives. And we feel like they're critical junctions in people's lives where the decisions they make need to be great decisions.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can really get derailed at these different junctions. And so we just think these Habitudes that we've put together in this collection are going to be some great thoughts for students as they move through those transitions and really put those tools in their hands where they can transition well.
Yeah.
And so January 15th is the release date for this. You can check out more information about it. It's going to be at habitudesforthejourney.com. Just all spelled out, Habitudes, F-O-R-T-H-E, journey.com. And check it out. Pre-orders are available for this book right now. And of course, after January 15th, it'll be available at regular price. And we're just looking forward to really being able to put this as a practical tool in parents and teachers and youth workers' hands to be able to help guide their students through those transitions. We also have a great event that's coming up at the end of June, and it's the National Leadership Forum. And Tim, do you want to talk for just a second maybe about what we're going to be addressing this year? I think it's a great topic that we're going to be looking at.
This is a very significant one. I'd love, as you listen, if this is relevant for you, I'd love for you to join us. It's June 27 and 28, 2013, And the National Leadership Forum has a theme this year that I believe is hyper-relevant. Mm-hmm. It's basically called marching off the map. In fact, it's an allusion to how Alexander the Great would often frustrate his fellow soldiers because mm-hmm. they kept marching further into territory they didn't have a map for. They had to draw the map as they went. Well, in education, this is where we're going. We've got to find new ways to train, equip, mentor, disciple, and teach this next generation. So we're going to be covering for two solid days, and we're going to bring in some of the best presenters we know. Mm-hmm. They're going to talk about the future of education, how do we need to really download information in a fresh way, the use of technology, or mm-hmm. where does technology not need to be a part?
Exactly.
What's the research on how kids really learn these days, the mm-hmm. IY kids and the Homelander kids? So we're very excited. We have a great lineup of speakers. So if you're listening and this sounds relevant, check out, Jake, tell us where the website is so they can look and
see. Yeah, the website is just nationalleadershipforum.org. And just as an important reminder, there's going to be a price jump that's going to happen on December 31st. So if that's something you're interested in going into, go ahead and lock in those best rates before they bump up on the 31st. It's a great opportunity to save a little bit of money on your ticket. And of course, we would love to have you be a part of the conversation that's going to be happening at the end of June around this important topic. Final reminder is just if you found this podcast and you're just getting acquainted with us at Growing Leaders, we'd love to have you come check out our website. You can find out more about the resources that we've created and just some of the ways that we want to help partner in leading this next generation well. Our website is just growingleaders.com. And also, Tim blogs 5 days a week at growingleaders.com/blog. So come there if you want to dig a little deeper. The session notes for this podcast are going to be there with all the things that we've mentioned. So if you want to come check that out and just get a good, quick, easy review, it's going to be available right there at growingleaders.com/blog. So once again, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. We hope this has been another helpful episode for you. And we look forward to seeing you back again in the next few weeks.